This is for you, Marty Zucker, to try to explain. It's a lot easier for me to talk than it is to write what the purpose and the result of pursuing the complication and sophistication of enhancing the earthing experience, what I've discovered since I set out to do this, ever since I first learned about earthing from you in the first place. And not having Kyle to raise, I get to raise ideas, innovation of ideas. So here's the idea. The four-part definition of my invention is this. It is a tank circuit, number one. Number two, it is a tank circuit applied to an open circuit, number two, which is what an earthing circuit is. By definition, it's an open circuit as opposed to a closed circuit, which is a loop, which we have to do when we want to test our connectivity to the earth. We have to create a reference, a second connection to the earth, a reference line, to create a loop so that we have a closed circuit and we can use our multimeter in resistance mode to see whether or not we get zero resistance as opposed to infinite resistance, which is the number one on the multimeter. Because a single line connection will only give us a number one because the multimeter is set up for a closed loop, closed circuit, and cannot register an open circuit in anything other than infinite resistance, which is, of course, does not satisfy the test to see whether or not our earthing line is making a direct connection with the earth or not. So it's a tank circuit applied to an open circuit. Those are the first two points. The next point is that the tank circuit applied to an open circuit is applied to the earth. Now, of course, we take that for granted because we want to earth ourselves. We want to ground ourselves to the earth. But from a person who's not familiar with the whole picture, let alone the picture that I'm trying to augment, I have to say that I'm amplifying that association, that dialogue between the body and the earth. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm augmenting the purpose of the tank circuit applied to the open circuit by connecting it to the earth, in as much as the earth I'm using as a reference to push against. And I borrow this from Eric Dollard's definition of how it was that Nikola Tesla was able to create wireless transmission of power. He created a monopole system in which he no longer had a dipole system. A dipole system means you have a reference to push against in order to amplify your circuit. And that's the standard approach when you have a tank circuit on a closed circuit. But still, I have a tank circuit applied to an open circuit. So I still have to get a reference because I don't know how to create a monopolar circuit that uses itself to push against without having a self-referential push reference, without having to have an external reference to push against. So using the earth as an external reference to push against, yet using an open circuit to do it, is the purpose of a tank circuit to amplify the signals being imparted to it, in this case initially, or minimally at the very least, using the signals emanating from the body. Because the dialogue between the body and the earth over an earthing line connection, an open circuit, is a dialogue of intelligence. See, in electrical theory, we have discovered that we can divide electrical theory into the two parts that Maharishi divides his analysis of life, namely energy and intelligence, creative intelligence, which, if you read the theory work of I Ching, the section of the I Ching having to do with the theory of the world, according to the I Ching, they talk about creative and intelligent, yang and yin, qian and kun, the two main trigrams, qian and kun, of the eight trigram system, or hexagram, I should say. No, trigram, excuse me. The eight trigrams that makes up the 64 hexagrams. There are two trigrams that are preeminent. Three solid lines and three broken lines. And the three solid lines are the epitome of yang, and the three broken lines the epitome of yin. And the Qian is the three broken line the three solid line trigram, and Kun is the three broken line trigram. And they epitomize, and they are called, literally, the three solid line trigram is the creative, and the three broken line is the Kun. And in English translation, they've been translated to be the creative and the intelligent. And so this is the feature of the yang and yin of life, is the creative intelligence. So Maharishi has it pegged. And in electrical theory, that corresponds to voltage. No, excuse me, the other way around. That corresponds to current and voltage. So voltage is the yin of life, the intelligence of life. And we also, in electrical theory, call it signals. Signals devoid of current. Voltage signals, oriented signals, devoid of current. And that's what an earthing connection deals with. You like to call it electron migration, which is fine for the purposes of explaining it to the public. But from electrical standpoint theory, it's information, intelligence, minus power, or energy, or creativity for that matter. In as much as there's creativity, but it's in potential form, it's not actuated, it's not executed, because you need power or energy to execute that intelligence, and that becomes the yang, the creative. But that also requires a closed loop, a closed circuit. We close the switch to activate the appliance, to activate the flow of energy from the power company to activate the appliance. So when we have an open circuit, it's an intelligent setup in which we have all these wires connecting the power grid to ourselves, and we have the appliance sitting there, but we don't have it directly coupled yet by closing the circuit. We just have it in place ready to go. And so it's a very intelligent setup, such as it is, you know, with its limitations and its health problems, but it's intelligent in that it carries power from, let's say, the hydroelectric power plant to ourselves, to the appliance, I mean, within our building. And it has all the intelligence, all the hallmarks of intelligence, but none of the creativity in actual use, except for, of course, the house wiring is busy humming away at 60 cycles per second, but the appliance is not humming away in its activity to give us what we want, namely toast in the morning, you know, toast our bread. So we close the circuit, and we make it a closed circuit, and that toasts our bread. And we leave it an open circuit, and we're still getting signals, though, coming from the house wiring, even though we're not getting zapped because we're not plugging our two fingers, wetting our two fingers and plugging them into the electric socket and getting zapped. We're not making a direct connection, yet grounding our body and sticking our two wet fingers in the electric socket. That would be the perfect analogy to closing the circuit, creating a closed loop, a closed circuit, and getting the benefit, so to speak, disbenefit of the strong electricity by killing ourselves. But by keeping the circuit open, all we do is we get the voltage problem of the PMF, of the pulsed EMF of the building, which is still a health problem. But it's merely the signal minus the power. It's the 60 cycle per second signal, the information, which is still a health hazard. But it doesn't kill us quickly by electrocution. It kills us slowly by degree because there's still that intelligence factor. So this is the kind of demarcation I'm trying to make here, which I'm sure you're already familiar with. I'm just trying to be very thorough in my explanation. So when we have an open circuit, we've got intelligence without creativity. When we have a closed circuit, we have both intelligence and creativity. So I've taken a tank circuit, which is an amplifying device, a self-resonating amplifying device, and a very simple circuit, because all it is a capacitor and a coil of wire. Whether or not the coil of wire has an iron core or some other core, such as an air core, it's just a coil of wire and a capacitor, and that's all it is. So we have our three points. We have it's a tank circuit applied to an open circuit, and using the earth as a reference to push against in order to amplify the signals that are transpiring between the earth and the body, the dialogue of intelligence, of voltage-based signals devoid of creative amperage, dynamically interacting back and forth across the single-wire, open-wire connection between the earth and the body, because there is an element of the earth that is man-made, namely the house wiring, creating all of this man-made pollution, electrical pollution in the body, which vaporizes the minute the power outage happens, and I get the benefit of earthing without even having to be earthed. And that was my experience. I had the most totally clear, anxiety-free meditation for 1 hour when my power went out before the cold set in, because this is an electric-based cabin, and I had to get in my car to heat up my electric car, my DC electric car. But I found out how electrosensitive I am. And so this is the reason why I pursue all of these things, is because I'm so electrosensitive that the AC pollution in my building is horrendous. And so I have to use electrical principles to overshadow periodically the non-bliss of anxiety that I am subjected to. Even though I ground myself, I still am subjected to severe anxiety due to my sensitivity to electric pollution. So there you go. There's the reason for me pursuing this added extreme. And it's definitely to my benefit to pursue it. So it's really not for somebody else's benefit. It's for my own. So I use a tank circuit to amplify the open circuit voltage lacking amperage of the earthing connection to the ground, and I use the earth as my push of choice, my object to push against of choice with which to amplify that dialogue between the earth and the body. And of course the earth has its own signals, because it has stresses within the earth, and the earth is mainly made up of silica, also iron, and that silica is the classical essential, quintessential example of a piezoelectric quartz crystal, which became very popular during World War II and gave us the advantage on the field, artillery having the infantry of the army having walkie-talkies and radios based on a piezoelectric crystal to amplify their weak signals, and gave us an advantage over the Germans, who did not have the technology, at least initially. And it just springboarded ever since. So piezoelectric crystals have a interesting history. They started with World War II. But the earth is made up of a lot of silica, and that silica, there is a lot of pressures in the earth, movements, tectonic pressures, and that creates voltage-based signals that are earth-based. Naturally induced signals that are not even related to the Schumann resonance and all the lightning strikes on above the surface of the earth, just in the interior of the earth alone. All the pressures, the strains of push and pull, creating all the different signals that are ricocheting all over the place, and we're picking them up, in addition to all the man-made pollution above the ground. So we've got this cacophony of dialogue going on, some of it harmonious, natural, induced by the earth underground, and some of it above ground, predominantly above ground, that is man-made and harmful to the body. And none of it goes away. So the amplifier that I came up with, using the earth as to push against, though it is also amplifying the signals that are coming to the body from above ground. And that was something to deal with, and understand that it's a problem to deal with. And so there's a sidebar that's not so nice to my pursuit. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's actually a fifth point that I'm getting to. The context in which I found that it's suitable to address, well, where does my invention fit in? What niche does it fill? But that's the fifth point, so I'm getting ahead of myself. The fourth point in criteria of defining the invention is that we need to be coupled to the earth with a strong connection. In other words, if I put a tank circuit applied to an open circuit, I run the risk of having a capacitor block my path between myself and the earth. And I don't want to do that. I want a direct line connection. I want a wire connecting me between myself and the earth. I don't want a capacitor to get in the way, because the dielectric material of a capacitor sandwiched between its two plates, I don't want that to get in the way and block my direct connection. That'll be a loose coupling, and then all I'll get is pure signals without any electron migration. So there goes the electron migration right out the window if I put a capacitor between me and the earth. So I had to redesign the tank circuit, my concept of a tank circuit, the standard concept, you know, on YouTube videos of how to teach yourself what a tank circuit is in a closed circuit situation, by redesigning it to an open circuit so that the capacitor does not get in the way. And that's the tweak I had to learn. But I also had to learn to put the capacitor in there and not just let it be a coil of wire around an iron core. That's not enough. Although that's a good start. But I had to add in a capacitor to make it into a tank circuit, but I had to add the capacitor in a way that did not block our wire connection to the earth. Our direct, it's called a strong coupling in electrical theory. Well, if I had put a capacitor there to block me, it would have been called a loose coupling, such as an antenna, two antennas, a receiving antenna and a transmitting antenna, a radio station and our radio. There's the air in between, and that's the dielectric. And that's not a strong coupling, that's a loose coupling between the sending radio station and the receiving radio that I use to pick up the music, let's say. Well, I didn't want that. I want our original, we have a strong connection with the earth by using a wire. So I had to start with a piece of wire, coil it around a piece of iron, and then learn how to connect a capacitor to that situation such that the capacitor did not get in the way. And then that completed the design characteristics of my invention. So those are the four criteria. A tank circuit, one. Two, it's applied to an open circuit. Three, I needed something to push against in order to amplify the signals of the body at the very least, and so I choose to use the earth, which is a reservoir to push against, which we're already using anyway in an earthing circuit, but it cannot be taken for granted that that's what I'm pushing against in order to amplify these various impulses, let's say, impulses of intelligence, voltage-based impulses of intelligence. And the fourth point is I had to maintain a wire connection with the earth at all times to have a strong coupling with the earth. Now, the fifth point, not the definition, the four-point definition of the invention, but the fifth point is the niche. How do we sell it? How do we tell people it's worthwhile to even bother using the device? And here's the answer to the conundrum that you posed to me that I didn't know how to answer at the time. Well, I've spent now the last few months, not too long, several weeks, coming up with the answer to your challenge. And that is this. Dr. Robert Otto, I believe is his middle name, O, initial O, Becker, MD. The Body Electric, his book that I wish to focus on, specifically Chapter 7 and Chapter 8. And also his patent that I devised, a shortcut URL, at tinyurl, that's tiny and URL spelled URL, tinyurl.com/Becker-patent. That will take you to his direct download link to directly download his patent, which is basically chapter 8 out of his book, updated, you know, to the most recent best version, better than what chapter 8 was describing, on how to apply his protocol. You can also go to my website, which is vinyasi.info/media/regeneration. And that is where I'm placing all my research results of pursuing his research. But that is, see, I went from my earthinglife.info website describing the invention, my pursuit of the invention, and it's not very good at the moment. I have to upgrade it. It's a little out of date, so I really don't give that nice succinct definition that I've just given to you now. But it's been going through the patenting process that helped me think, and having time to think about it to help me qualify in very simple terms what the invention is. So I'll have to upgrade the website and also upgrade the provisional patent, because that's not the way I want it to be before I turn it into a real utility patent. But the niche is described at that my website, and in one word, it's Robert O. Becker, his book, The Body Electric, and his patent. Because it's healing and regenerating the body. I mean, it started in my pursuit of, I hate to admit this, Marty, from one Jew to another. I am a nudist, though, and and a reformed Jew, which I'm very disappointed with my Jewish background, because they gave me no training whatsoever. A few songs and a few prayers and how to make a matzah cake for Passover made out of matzah, Manischewitz wine, and chocolate. And I was thoroughly disgusted with my Jewish education. So I read the Bible three times, the Old Testament three times through, and then I got disgusted with all the wars. And so I stopped reading the Bible. So I'm kind of disgusted with my Judaism. So it's no surprise I went to nudity as my religion of choice. And no nudist wants to admit that their lifestyle choice is a religion. But it's a belief, and it's a practice. So, how far removed is that from our religious definition? Now, according to Charlie, all it does is focus on the fourth chakra. And there is a certain amount of mood-making involved as well. But it doesn't go beyond the fourth chakra, which is worth something. I mean, that's what monks and nuns do. They go to the monastery to pursue opening the fourth chakra, at the very least. So, that's all nudity is good for, yet, hey, it's good for something. So, what I discovered was that I'm irresponsible because I was circumcised at birth, not because of my Judaism, but because the doctor in charge chose to do it right away. So no moil came along 8 days later. And what I've discovered is that it's actually stressful to have a bare head of the penis, uncovered all the time, rubbing up against clothing and bed sheets. So sleeping naked on the earthing bed sheet is all very well and good, but I still have a stressor, namely the head of the penis. And impotency in midlife crisis comes about because of circumcision. And people who don't study foreskin restoration don't know this. And so it's a little education to find out that midlife crisis of men is all due to circumcision and has nothing to do with age. Sure, it age, but age only in terms of time, because the genitals degenerate over time due to the lack of a foreskin. Testosterone level continues to drop because of a lack of a foreskin. And this is a statistic which we do not know about in our country, because foreskin removal is so commonplace, especially in our generation, has been so commonplace. It's less commonplace now, but it's still quite common. And it's still pushed by the pediatrics and the AMA. And so it's a source of stress. When I put an artificial foreskin cover over my penis when I sleep at night, I actually sleep better. And my body is more relaxed. And when I remove the foreskin, the artificial foreskin cover, such as a condom, my sleep is more stressed and more agitated, and I don't sleep as well. So I have self-taught myself the value of restoring a foreskin. And to top it off, as a nudist, there is the problem of the law. I break the spirit of the law just by being circumcised all the time, regardless of whether or not I have my clothes on or my clothes off. Because in ancient Greece, the definition of obscene indecent exposure was defined, or it was solved, let's put it that way. The definition is, the epitome of the definition is resolved during the Olympic Games. They used a leather cord to tie the foreskin tight so that it remains forward of the head of the penis, so as not to accidentally slip back during the Olympic Games, because it was considered indecent exposure to expose the head of the penis. And if you were circumcised, or if you had a short foreskin, or no foreskin, you were considered indecent to expose the head of your penis in public. And in the 1950s, judges who had to judge the criteria of how to interpret whether or not somebody violated the state law of California the indecency exposure law, they use the criteria of turgidity, namely the erection of the penis, to determine whether or not the person was violating the law. And this is how the law is correctly ascertained, whether or not it was violated. Of course, that's never the case these days, unlike the 1970s, when we had so many people meditating, in my opinion, that raised everybody's consciousness, and so judges interpreted the law naturally, innocently, spontaneously, without any effort on the part of a defense attorney to remind them to interpret the law properly. I've had to learn that the hard way. So I violate the spirit of the law because the head of my penis is exposed all the time, irregardless of whether or not I'm naked or clothed. And so the true definition of indecent exposure I am violating all the time, which is the spirit of the law. So as an irresponsible nudist, if I don't do something to restore the foreskin of my penis, irregardless of the so-called covenant of Judaism, which if you ask some historians, some theologians, they'll say that the circumcision has nothing to do with the covenant. It's simply a custom to symbolically exemplify that we hold a covenant with God as a Jew. But it is not required. Now, I don't know, maybe that's a Reformed Jewish interpretation, maybe the Orthodox or the Conservative takes a different view, but there's somebody on the internet who claims to be a Jewish theologian who says it's not necessary to be circumcised to be Jewish. Be that as it may, as a nudist, it is a violation of the law, the spirit of the law, to continue to be circumcised, especially if the clothes come off in public. Now, I am helping the situation get worse if I'm still circumcised. Needless to say, I'm also setting a role example that it's okay to be circumcised in our country, and it's not, because everybody else's mindset is that of a circumcised person, and so they're going to view me as indecent, irregardless of what I may say or do. Even if I have myself restored, my foreskin restored, they're still going to think I'm indecent, because their mindset is geared to indecency because of the rampant circumcision occurring in this country and among themselves. But I have to start with myself and be the first person to restore my foreskin. So, starting with that as my initial motivation, I came across Robert O'Becker's work, and it blew me away because of my prior work studying Leon Ernest Eamon's biocircuit of bliss, literally. But it's not that much bliss unless it's enhanced with electrical circuit and components. And this is why I applied my invention. I've used several different formats, but the latest is the best. The niche, this is the fifth point, not what I've described among the 4 points. I applied that invention of the 4 points to the fifth point of Robert O'Becker's regeneration of wounds. And it's, you know, I'm sure you already know about him. If you don't, it's certainly worthwhile to pursue looking up, because he literally figured out how to regenerate body parts, whole limbs. He never got to the organs before his funding was cut, because he became famous and he lost his funding. Oh, yeah, the storyline is there was a 60-minute interview in which he talked about, he regaled against the hazards of pulsed EMF in our society, how it's so harmful in creating cancer. And I understand now better why young children get leukemia while their parents do not, because of the proliferation of stem cells in their body, and the stem cells get confused and become cancerous. Because Robert O'Becker figured out how to turn off cancer in the most simplest of ways. Because cancer is regeneration gone awry, run amok. Because the stem cells get confused and can't become, set up house and become, so to speak, and weigh anchor and set up house by finding a niche, a location in the body to fix themselves to, in which to serve as their guide to become that nose cell or that bone cell. They have to find a place to fix themselves to first before they determine, okay, now I'm going to become the cell that's supposed to be in that location. And so they become specialized. They differentiate themselves from all the other cells of the body. Well, if they don't get to that point, if they remain a stem cell for too long, they become cancerous. And if they become confused as well as to what their purpose in life is. And so it's a question of confusion on the part of stem cells that caused them to become cancerous. Well, Robert Becker figured out how to turn that off simply by using polarity in his healing protocol circuit. So I learned about the efficacy of using his circuitry as my main criteria of how to create a biocircuit with which to amplify by some means or another. And I used a different method. I used a complex tank circuit a year ago to amplify the earthing experience, but it was turning me into a monk, and I didn't like that. I want to remain a householder. I just want bliss, and I also want to regenerate and slow down degeneration. So I've modified my amplifying circuit of choice to be the four criteria that I described, rather than using an older model that I was using, an older version I was using last winter, the winter of 2013-2014, which was so powerful. I literally experienced samadhi for 2.5 hours once. The rest of the time, every time I would get in a session once a day, I experienced hibernation, the deep sleep that bears must go through when they sleep deeply for months at a time. This was sleep more deep than the sleep at night. But it was sleep. It was not samadhi. It was sleep. It was not transcendental consciousness. But it was so deep, it upset my diurnal schedule, in which I couldn't sleep at night because I had already gotten such deep sleep during the daytime, during my daytime session. I couldn't do these sessions at night because they required me to be perfectly still. And this is a caveat to the application of my circuit, I have to admit, is the need to remain perfectly still. So it's not something you can, it's something you can do in bed, but it's not something you can do flip-flopping around sleeping at night in bed. You have to remain perfectly still. So either you get into an easy chair that pushes back so you can be reclined, a reclining easy chair, or you can get into the bed, but either way you have to be reclining, kind of like Passover, you know? You got to recline. You got to veer to the left, or is it veer to the right? I forget. you have to veer one way or the other. You have to recline, and then, so as not to move, because your body is hooked up to all these wires. And although this present version of the niche is less blissful, it's more middle path, and it also has the added advantage of applying Robert Becker's methodology. Not to say that the technology I used a year ago, the fifth point, this niche, does not regenerate the body. It may, I don't know. It's just nobody's documented it scientifically to know whether or not, and I might as well label it so we know what I'm talking about that I used a year ago. It's Eric Dollard, and he invented something called the analog computer. And it has a particular modality that I chose to use. It has several, several modalities, but the one I chose to use is the modality of longitudinal magnetodielectric. And I had a daisy chain of three modules of that modality implemented in my circuit. And I modified it in order to enhance phase lock resonance. So those are the technical terms, and it was unbelievable bliss in the physiology before I lost consciousness and dropped off into sleep. I mean, the bliss was, I used to make games with myself. I'd get into the circuit and I'd say, okay, show me the bliss, come on, I'm not convinced, come on, it's not happening, because I knew it was going to happen. It was automatic. I would set up the initial condition by creating the circuit and connecting myself to it and lay perfectly still. And then I would taunt myself and tease myself, okay, I'm not seeing it, where is it, come on, show me the bliss, because I knew it was going to happen anyway. Now, taunting would reduce the bliss, but I knew I could afford to because I knew it was going to be pretty strong anyway, but also because I got some fun out of taunting it, you know. I like to be a tease, what can I say? Because I knew it was automatic. It was a physiological, automatic response that bliss would happen, irregardless of whether or not I believed it or wanted it to happen. All I had to do was be patient. and not break the circuit prematurely. Because if I broke it prematurely, then it wouldn't come. But if I taunted it, it would take longer to come. But it would still come irregardless. In a maximum of 30 minutes, it would come. A minimum of a couple of minutes, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but it would come. Didn't have to repeat the mantra, and I was lying down. Didn't have to be fatigued to fall asleep. Could lie there. Automatically, you know, thoughts, automatically would come, and I'd fall asleep. But one time, I lost track of the time, and I know for sure it was samadhi, because I was so confused when I came out, because I thought it was only a half hour that I lost in terms of time, yet it was 3 hours. And I know I was awake the whole time, but apparently I'd stopped thinking for 2.5 hours. I just wasn't aware. I wasn't cognizant of the fact that I stopped thinking for 2.5 hours. Whatever. But that was last winter. This past winter, I came up with this device, and then I inadvertently came up with a niche, and that's Robert O. Becker. So I finally have made a sequence of breakthroughs, in which I have figured out how to apply Robert O. Becker's technology to the earthing experience, and more importantly, to Leon Ernest Eamon's biocircuitry methodology, so as to create a condition in the physiology which is actually blissful, but mildly so. Something that I can live with, because I can maintain my householder status, in which I want to pursue desires and not turn into a monk, in which the daily routine is all that matters. You know, the pursuit of God, the path of yoga, our daily routine is all that matters. Because a year ago, that's all I did. I did the bio circuit, you know, using Eric Dollard's analog computer in LMD mode, and I did my twice-a-day meditation, and I went to sleep at night, and I fed myself food, and took a shower, and did a little exercise, and that was it. And all I wanted to do was just lay around and maybe watch a movie, and I didn't want to pursue anything like what I'm doing now, sharing my ideas with you, getting a provisional patent, managing websites. I mean, that's a householder, because that takes work. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to work. I just wanted to do things to maintain the body and experience bliss. And I did, and it was good for the trauma that I left LA with, to treat myself of trauma. And that's what it was good for. And it was very good for eradicating the severe trauma, the suicidal condition that I was in when I came here, the depression, the severe grief. It was horrendous hell what I was going through. So it reprogrammed my subconscious mind by deprogramming me of the habit of bliss, or excuse me, the habit of grief, pursuing grief by feeling so irresponsible for having lost Kyle, that I was kicking myself, I was hurting myself by self-inducing grief, because I thought it was my duty as a parent to care that I lost him, and to care that I could not fight anyone to keep him. I lost the fight. So that served its purpose, but I had to grow out of it. So I modified my amplification biocircuit technique to create this invention, which I can call my own in a sense. I can't call Eric Dollard's, my modification of Eric Dollard's analog computer, my own, because it's his invention. So I couldn't really patent that, and I didn't even want to retain its use. So I came up with this other method, but then I had to come up with a niche to really solve the conundrum that you posed to me. Why bother at all? So now I know the niche. And it may not help you, because your pursuit is earthing, while mine is the fact that all the stress I've generated due to all my activism, my years of activism in LA, and I've been a very busy activist when I was in LA, has created a lot of damage to my body, and one of it was antifreeze poisoning 12 years ago. It has accelerated the aging process. Demir said, I've got a body of a 68-year-old. And I already knew that, but getting it confirmed from him didn't make me feel any better. Because I used to be 4 to 5 years younger than my chronological age due to meditation and the fasting I did as a teenager. But now I've aged 15 years. I'm 10 years older than my chronological age. And I'm alive, though. All my cats are dead because of that antifreeze poisoning. But I managed to stay alive due to apricot pits and cesium chloride and a few other protocols that I followed. I get to be alive because a raw food vegan diet was not enough. I was pursuing that 100% at the time that I was poisoning myself with antifreeze, but it was not enough to stop death from happening, because I could see myself dying. I could feel myself dying, excuse me, and I had my cats as a criteria to judge by. I was exhibiting their symptoms to a lesser degree, more slowly progressing along, but it was progressing nonetheless, and I could not stop it by a raw food vegan diet 100% alone. So I had to pursue apricot pits and cesium chloride in liquid form and a few other protocols, and now I have to regenerate the damage done, because the antifreeze did permanent damage. After a year's time, I realized that. The peristalsis in my colon doesn't work as well as it used to near the rectal area. So I literally have had constipation now for 11 years. And worse than I've ever had it in the rest of my life. And it's really bad. I won't describe the details, but it's bad. All due to partial paralysis of the peristalsis at the back end of my alimentary canal. And that's just one example. I have other problems with my pancreas not functioning properly, so I don't handle sugar anymore like I used to. I used to handle sugar extremely well. As a vegan, you know, vegans abuse sugar. They have a distinct, prominent common sense knowledge that vegans tend to abuse sugar, by and large, at least in this country. A few healthy vegans, you know, eat lots of beans and stay away from the sweets, but I was no exception, and it proved to be the worst thing for me after the antifreeze was to continue to love sweets, because I can't digest sugar. My pancreas is just gone AWOL, besides my liver as well, and along with the peristalsis. So I have a strong need to regenerate the body. And although I didn't know how to, and I didn't really think it was possible, I mean, I've heard of these stories from Ayurveda. Now I understand it's called Kayakalpa. It was initiated by the Saint Agastya, living in the period of Ayodhya, at the time in which Krishna and Rama and all those, Sukadeva and all those people lived. Still, they're just stories that we hear about, even though there is a story of a guy, you know, a lightning bolt struck the earth nearby while he was taking a walk outside, and it regenerated his body. He threw away his glasses, his teeth fell out, and he got a whole new set of teeth, all his gray hair fell out, if he had any hair, and he got a whole regenerated hair, full color, I think there was one story, version of the story had it, he was dying of cancer, and his cancer disappeared. It depends what version of the story I read. So I didn't know how to pursue that, to actually investigate regeneration, even though there are stories. But then I stumbled across Robert O'Becker, and only indirectly, because I was studying the restoration of the foreskin. So, I have a desire to restore the foreskin, but more importantly, I have a desire to slow down the degeneration of the body. And now I've figured out how, not only have I replicated Robert O'Becker's protocol for wound regeneration, such that I had a deep cut that I gave myself by accident while I was cutting wire, of all things. And boy, the blood was coming out profusely and scaring me. I got to stop the bleeding, and I couldn't, so I had to, you know, sop it up with a gauze. And I immediately applied Robert O'Becker's technology of his circuitry and the use of silverized nylon gauze in the correct manner, and I have absolutely no hint of scar on that wound. Absolutely not. It's as if the wound never happened. So I know it works in that instance. And then I went further from that, and I decided, okay, I want to apply it to the whole body. And I made a lot of mistakes passing current across the heart and across the brain, which we all know we're not supposed to do. But I did it anyway because I needed to find out how to do it. And I found out how to do it. So I found out how to apply his regeneration technology to the entire physiology. Except for one little area I leave alone, and that's the face. And so, but the forehead, I ground to the earth. And so the face is the only part not connected to some circuit in one form or another. But the forehead I connect to the earth using a, not an earthing patch, sorry to say. I use 1 ounce Troy silver of pure silver in the form of a silver round, similar to a silver dollar, but it's pure silver. And that's my electrode of choice for my forehead to ground myself to the earth. I use silverized nylon as a wrap. It's called a manhood. It's shaped like a condom. It goes over my penis to make a connection with that. And then if I need to use an earthing connection elsewhere on the body, I'll use a wrist connection, a wristband around maybe a wrist, or both wrists for that matter. But I try to stay away from earthing patches unless I have a wound, a very small wound I'm dealing with, and I'll put silverized nylon underneath, directly underneath the silica gel on the underside of the earthing patch, so that the silica gel does not meet up with the skin. Instead, silver meets up with the skin. And then I can apply either a positive charge or a negative charge, depending on what I'm trying to do. Usually it's a positive charge, to the wound to help it heal. And that's essentially, and then it has to be a very weak current, so I have to use 100 mega ohm resistance and a AA battery. I'm using 100 mega ohm resistance for my whole body treatment. But no, I have to use a resistor calculated to be appropriate for the size of the wound. At any rate, when there's no wound and I'm applying it to the entire body, I use as much resistance as I can and still stay within cost. So I get 100 mega ohm resistors by the 100 count package on eBay, and that keeps my cost down. And it keeps the amperage down to less than 100 nanoamps. My multimeter can't even measure the nanoamps, but I can measure the millivolts, and it hovers around 120 millivolts, which is still too high according to Robert Obecker's protocol, but it's getting there. It's in the direction of the ballpark of where I'm supposed to be. It's certainly better than up at around a volt. That's no good. It has to be way, way low because I need it to be non-stressful to the body. And I've applied Robert Obecker's technology using the knowledge of Robert Obecker, but also using the knowledge of Leon Ernest Eamon's cooperative healing biocircuit, so that as to create bliss. And because I've already managed to apply Eric Dollard's analog computer as a biocircuit methodology grounded to the earth, to augment bliss, I've taken that skillfulness to be able to apply Robert Obecker's circuit grounded, well, not, I choose now not to ground it to the earth, but ground the body separately and apply Robert Obecker's circuit separately to the body, and then the earthing circuit is separate from Robert Obecker's circuit. So all of these circuits are being applied to the body, and I've learned how to do all this and yet, on top of it all, experience bliss. And it's milder than Eric Dollard's analog computer, but at least I know for sure now that I'm contributing to slowing down the degeneration of the body. To some degree or another, I don't know. It's still too early to tell, because I've only been doing this protocol procedure now for several days. I mean, I have to wait several months before I can really tell, because Robert Obecker's protocol, it takes months to... Well, weeks at least, but months to see the final result if you're trying to regenerate a wound. If you're trying to regenerate a limb, it might be half a year or slightly more to regenerate bone in addition to muscle and nerves and skin. A fully intact limb. I mean, it's unbelievable what he managed to do with lab rats and frogs and people. Unbelievable. I mean, he just blew me away that it could be possible. Well, needless to say, if you go to my website, regeneration folder inside the media folder at the vinyasi.info server domain name, you'll see right up at the top of my webpage a whole slew of pictures of blue-skinned deities from Indian culture, East Indian culture. Rama, Shiva, Sukadeva, who's the other one? Krishna, all these blue-skinned people, and I realized the reason why they're blue-skinned is not merely because they might be from the fifth root race that Charlie Lutz talked about, who was still in existence at the time that Krishna was born into that blue race to save them from themselves because they were becoming extinct. The men were becoming sterile. It may be because of their proliferate, their heavy use of silver, true silverware, not, you know, stainless steel called silverware, but, you know, the reason why the wealthy avoided the bubonic plague during the plague years in Europe was because they ate their food off of silver, and they were called blue bloods because they had a battleship gray or a blue-gray skin tone to their skin, because they had so much silver impregnated in their skin that they remained disease-free from bubonic plague. So it's the wrong way to go about applying silver to the... Well, it's not the wrong way. It's the less efficient way, because nowadays we know better how to use colloidal silver so as not to turn blue or blue-gray or battleship gray. But that's not to say that it's wrong. It's just not, you know, cosmetically beautiful, you know, maybe. But according to the standards of East Indian culture, Krishna, Shiva, how can they be wrong? You know, how can Sukadeva be wrong? How can these guys be wrong if that's how it came about that they became blue? I think it is. I think there's a strong argument that could be made that that's probably why they were blue in the first place. So there's nothing wrong with being blue, or it's just not very efficient, but there's nothing wrong with applying silver to the body. And that's half the protocol. It's not essential to the protocol of Robert O'Becker. The use of electricity alone is sufficient, and it's not essential to apply Leon Ernest Demon to make it blissful, but I sure would like it to be, you know, if I spend all this time applying the circuit for the rest of my life as part of my daily routine to try to slow down degeneration of the body, trying to uphold some tenet of kaya kalpa under the agas or auspices of Ayurveda, I'm going to want it to be blissful as a strong incentive to stay in the circuit just as long as I possibly can to help the regeneration of the body. So I've learned how to do that, though. Apply Robert O'Becker's technology in a blissful manner. So now I have the niche in which the provisional patent invention that I wanted to share with you, I found a place for it. It doesn't help you, but it helps me understand where it belongs. And so I'm sorry to have taken your time from your busy schedule, but I thought I needed to tell you this so that you understood where I'm coming from now, currently, what I understand, what my research has taken me to. I'm swept away. I'm just so enthusiastic with what I've discovered because it makes me feel so self-sufficient that I don't need to even pursue nudity anymore. You know? I mean, the only pursuit of nudity for me, the only benefit, is to sleep naked at night and to be naked when I'm hooked up to this protocol procedure that I've learned how to do. There's no other reason to be naked, as far as I'm concerned. So as a nudist, it's like I've given up my nudity, in a sense, by transcending the need to be naked or nude all the time, as an all-time pursuit. Now, my main focus is my daily routine and the degeneration that the aging process has on the body. And I think, well, not I think, but the storyline to Agastya and his followers pursuing kaya kalpa was, you know, why reincarnate to pursue yoga when if we can keep the body alive that much longer to continue to pursue yoga? Why go to the trouble of reincarnating? Gurudev didn't like incarnating, according to all the story of his 9 months in the womb, his knowledge and awareness of that 9 month period. He was very much awake to the experience. Most of us, you know, are not aware of having been pregnant in our mummy's womb, but he was, and he didn't like it. So who wants to reincarnate? I mean, Bill Verkamp is constantly reminding me he doesn't want to have to come back. But if we don't reach enlightenment in this lifetime, of course we have to, you know. So there is a value to kaya kalpa, and apparently Maharishi did talk about it. There's a lecture in the 50s, in the late 50s, and there's a lecture in the late 60s that people are talking about, that he did talk about kaya kalpa. So to what degree, you know, my memory doesn't serve me very well, but that much it served me, I can restate, remember. So that's my latest update to bring you up to date. I still have to work on the provisional patent to finish it so that it becomes a permanent patent, but at least now I'm better understanding on how to finish it off. And I understand its niche. So you may be right. There may be no money in it, so you may... I think I'm convinced now that you're speaking the truth. There's no money in it. So what I may have to do is simply sell a package of information to educate people. You know, like maybe like a DVD or a CD, maybe a text, maybe an e-text, you know, something somebody can download. But something that describes the protocol in simple enough terms that they can apply it to their own home, do-it-yourself, without having to know too much, you know, about the logistics or about the background information behind it. You know, that's optionally extra. And maybe that's all I can do. Make a little money selling little packets of information to spread little packets of information around. That could be all I really can do with that. Anywho, that's what I'm doing currently, because I post the information on that website location showing off how my research has taken me to the current location. Of course, that's just not the best way to teach people in simple terms, because that's, right now I have something like 60, this will be the 60th, well, this would be if I shared it, the 60th, I may have to edit it for general public use, but it would be the 60th installment of my video series. So that's a lot of stuff for somebody to plow through, and not something I would want to sell as a simple packet of information. Anyway, that's my discussion with you privately, intended for your ears, that I'm trying to address. But I may edit it and put it up publicly. I don't know. I may have to think about this, because I put a lot of useful information in here. Anywho, thanks for your time. And thanks for your motivation. If it hadn't been for you waving your book around at the TM Center when you came in that time when it first became published, I never would have been at least a bit curious about that area of concern that you pursued. And it's amazing that it was all because of your need to pay off your mortgage and come out of semi-retirement that it has opened up a whole field of knowledge and learning for me that just blows me away how sumptuous this field of learning and endeavor, diving into it, has become. It just blows me away. The experiences I've had is just mind-boggling. It just blows me away. I can't say it enough times. I'm sorry. Anyway, I better stop blabbling. I'll let you get back to your work. Thank you for listening.